Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This has been a long transition, hasn't it? It is so good to be here. When I was growing up, I could only imagine being the pastor of the Coppertop Church. And actually, my high school principal is a member here, Mr. Carlson. Where are you? I haven't seen him since I was in high school, but I want to remind you that anything that happened in high school stays in the principal's office. I'm really delighted to have much of my family here today. All of my family lives in Duluth. I have my mom and dad, whom you know, Patrick and Sharon Alexander. My grandmother, Dorothy Abbott. Next week, she's going to turn 100. In my family, middle age is like 60. And then I have two brothers. My one brother, Dean, and his wife, Terry, are not able to be here. They'll be here some other day. But his daughter, Claire, my niece, Claire, and my nephew-in-law, Josh, raise your hand, are here. And then, maybe you can hold the applause. There's a lot of them. And then there's my other brother, Nicholas, and his wife, Jamie, and my 8-year-old nephew, Lincoln. And Daniel is my 13-year-old nephew. I know several of you here know him, and he's not able to be here today. And then my cousin, Morgan. Did I forget anyone? And then in the back, I'm just so blessed. As you know, before I came here, I served at Minnetonka United Methodist, and I have a family at Minnetonka United Methodist who drove up to be here with us today. And so Darren and Jennifer, and raise your hand, and Kennedy and Peyton and Harrison, it's such a joy to have them. Now, I got to tell you this. They started coming to church at Crosswinds when I was pastor there. Then they moved over to Minnetonka when I became pastor there. So will you be making a 2.5-hour commute? Let us pray as we begin. God, as we hear your words read and proclaimed, open our ears so that we can hear. Free us from distractions around us and within us so that we can really listen. Open our minds that we might understand just a glimpse of the divine. And open our hearts that we might be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. In today's scripture reading, we find Jesus with his disciples. He surprises and alarms them when he says to them, "I'm not going to be with you very much longer." But then he continues, "Don't worry," he says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a spirit, a comforter, who will always remind you of God and help you know God. This spirit will teach you and will remind you of me." I can imagine the disciples thinking that this promised coming of a Holy Spirit wasn't bringing them a whole lot of comfort. The disciples are like us. Change isn't easy. And yet, along with that change, though, there was a promise. So can you feel a bit of both the pain and the hope that Jesus' words brought for the disciples back then and also for us today? This morning's scripture lesson, it brings to us a profound promise. And the promise is this: in the midst of everything that we go through in life, Jesus sends the Spirit to be with us. And as I look back over my life, do you know what I find? God's promise has been true. Through every step of my journey, the Spirit has been with me, just as Jesus promised. I grew up here in Duluth, Minnesota, lived in Kenwood, where my parents still live. For as far back as I can remember, I loved going to church, Temple Baptist Church in the West End. I can't remember a single time in my life when I didn't know and love God. I was 7 or 8 years old when I felt God calling me to be a pastor, and I knew that I would be a pastor. Some people can point to a particular day or time in their life when they invited Jesus Christ in their life and entered into relationship with God, and I celebrate that with them. But others find God and are found by God in other ways. For me, it was a gradual process of hearing God's call and committing myself to God. During the faith-forming years of my childhood and my youth, God's Spirit was with me, just as Jesus promised. When I was in high school, I was continuing to feel a call to be a pastor, so I decided to talk to all the female pastors in Duluth to get their perspective on it. And guess what I found? There were no female pastors in Duluth, except here at the Coppertop Church, where there was a diaconal minister named Corinne Gogger, now Corinne Van Buren. Do some of you remember her? So I called the church, and she talked with me. And so, in a way, my very beginning steps of ministry started right here in this place. When I was in college, I expressed my growing call to be a pastor, but my church, it discouraged me because it didn't believe in female leadership. They told me that I could become a pastor's wife instead. That would have been a long wait. I found that as much as I loved that church, I needed to leave that church in order to grow in my own calling and understanding of God. And so about that time, Lester Park United Methodist Church here in Duluth, they were looking for a youth director. So I applied, interviewed, and was given the job even though I was only 19 years old. Soon after I arrived, the pastor announced that he was going to be leaving. And it wasn't the normal appointment time to leave, and so there were going to be several months where they wouldn't have a pastor. So the church contracted with me, 19-year-old me, to do all the preaching. I loved it. I thought I was terrific. I've read those sermons since, and I know that it's Lester Park United Methodist that was terrific and not me. But people there encouraged me and invited me to consider being a pastor. They affirmed my call, and it felt so wonderful having the call that I was feeling inside of me being affirmed by a church community. And so that church became my sponsoring congregation. It's also the same church that Pastor Bishop David Bard came out of. As I was hearing and responding to God's call in my life, the Spirit was with me, just as Jesus promised. Once I completed college, I went to seminary to begin preparation to become a United Methodist pastor, and during seminary, I worked as a youth pastor in a Presbyterian church in White Bear Lake. I was feeling very hurt by my Baptist church's exclusion of my call. And so out of that hurt, I rejected the more evangelical teachings of that Baptist church, and I embraced the more liberal teachings of the congregation I was serving. And it felt so freeing. Instead of being told what I had to believe and given set answers, I was encouraged to study and struggle, to pray and search, to seek my own answers and develop my own faith. That was something that I really needed to do. It provided me the opportunity to own my own faith rather than rely on the faith of others. But there was a problem. Although I was owning my own faith and beliefs, I was still missing out that living relationship with God in Christ that I had experienced in my past. It seemed to me that there just had to be a way of both being free to ask questions and have differences of opinion about theology and social issues and still have a vibrant personal connection with God in Jesus Christ. And so I opened myself back up to the faith of my youth, enlightened by my own faith journey. And I have come to a faith that allows for differences of interpretation on biblical and faith issues, that requires personal questioning and struggle, that demands an outward focus and a focus on social justice, and is centered on a personal, life-saving, life-changing connection with God in Christ. in all my struggling, in all my searching, the Spirit was with me just as Jesus promised. The first church that I officially served as pastor was Lake Harriet United Methodist. I was the associate pastor. And that church, through their affirmation of my ministry and the love they showed me, formed me as a pastor. After 6 years at Lake Harriet, the senior pastor was retiring, and the church asked our conference if I could become lead pastor there. But the cabinet who makes those decisions chose not to make me lead pastor and instead sent me to Crosswinds United Methodist Church to be a lead pastor. Well, I didn't like that. I'm not nuts about people telling me what I have to do. And I was resistant to leaving the safety nest of that very first church. And they weren't wanting to let me go. And so the youth picketed the conference office. Isn't it a lot easier to fight against change than to embrace it? I was really afraid to go to Crosswinds and follow their founding pastor. I was apprehensive because I had never been a solo pastor before. For the first time in my life, I was really realizing that I couldn't do this on my own. But God and the people there, they helped me every step of the way. Midway through that appointment, I went on a renewal leave. I took 8 weeks away to rejuvenate. And I had a spiritual awakening, an epiphany of sorts during that time away. During my time of not working, I came to really understand that God loved me just because I'm me. Not because of anything I did or didn't do, not because of who approved of me or didn't, not because I preached a great sermon or not. I came to understand and internalize that I am fully accepted, claimed, and named by God just as I am because I am God's child. That has given me such deeper security and joy and effectiveness in ministry. It's brought in me a deeper connection with God and other people. The Spirit was with me, helping me understand God's love for me, just as Jesus promised. In 2012, after 13 years at Crosswinds United Methodist, I asked if I could be appointed to Minnetonka United Methodist, and I was. When I walked into that room for the interview, I expected to initially see a look of disappointment because I'm not a man. And unfortunately, that usually happens. But instead, when I walked into that room, two young women said loudly, "It's a woman, yay!" What a gift that was for my spirit, that they embraced the ministry of all people, just as I know and here you do. Early on in my time at Minnetonka, I met with the pastor emeritus, Harley Hageman. I wanted his help in thinking through what I needed to strategically work on as I began there. But no matter what I asked him, he kept coming back and saying the same thing. He said, "Just love the people." I have never had more joy in ministry than I had for the 5 years that I was their pastor. And I think that's because I took Harley's advice and made really loving the people my primary focus, just as I'm going to do here with you. In my 5 years at Minnetonka United Methodist, the Spirit was with me and that congregation just as Jesus promised. There's a story about a man. He was shopping for a birthday card for his dad, and he found a card that had a drawing of two boats that were tied to a dock. As he looked closely, he noticed that one boat was a sailboat, and the other boat was a rowboat. And so he purchased the card and wrote a note to his dad and sent it to him, and he included this question: "Dad, which boat would you choose to cross the body of water?" Soon he received a response from his dad which said, I noticed that the rowboat, it didn't have an engine, but that the sailboat had a sail. So my question before making a decision is this. Is there any wind? Is there any wind? That is a powerful question for us to ask together as we make decisions and seek to grow individually and as a church. Is there any wind? It's an important question for us to ask as we journey through the many changes and stages and risks that we need to take in life. Is there any wind? That is a crucial question for us to ask as we think about what God is calling us to do and be. And at every single stage in our life, no matter how young or how old, God is calling us. Is there any wind? Will we be able to put up sails and catch the winds of each other, catch the wind of God's Spirit? Is there any wind among us? You know the answer. The answer is yes, 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 there is wind. You see, the wind of God's Spirit, it's going to be with us and guiding us as we share these first months together and form our relationships, journeying together into the new opportunities God is creating for us. There's going to be challenging times. Maybe even frustrating moments along the journey, but there's also going to be exciting, joyful, anticipatory moments in the coming months. As we join in this journey together, let's use it as an opportunity to learn what it looks like to walk through change in faith with God's Spirit guiding us. And folks, we need to learn how to do that here in this church. Because there is so much change facing you in your life, and we learn here how to walk through that. My hope, my prayer for you is that you will walk through all the changes in your life with faith, seeking God's guidance, asking what God is calling you to do and be, resting in God's comfort and strength, taking risks and welcoming new opportunities, and in it all, believing in the core of your heart and soul that God's Spirit is with you, just as Jesus promised. I have hopes and dreams for this congregation and for each one of you individually. I want this church to grow numerically. I want us to be having to offer more and more services, more and more opportunities, because you see, we are called to share the good news that we have found here about what it means to live in and live out a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Folks, this place is a blessed place. You are a blessed people, and we are called to share that news, that message with all other people. I hope for a deepening of your already impressive commitment to mission, a growing focus on social justice, new programs for children and youth that not only change and impact their lives, but reach out into the community and beyond. I want to see adults continuing to actively grow in their faith, and all of us together having a growing awareness that every single thing that we say and do here and in every place we go is a part of our faith journey. But more than anything else, I pray for each of you to know that God is with you, that God loves you unconditionally, and no matter what, you are never, ever alone. When you face seasons of change, which each of you will, I want you to be able to step forward in faith and in confidence because you know that God's Spirit is guiding you. When you face storms and disappointment, when you feel dark and hopeless, I want you to know what it's like to look to God and to find the hope and promise and strength when you most need it. And when you have joyous times, when you are feeling blessed and all is going well. I want you to remember that God is calling you to be a blessing to others, to shine the light, the wind of God's Spirit with everyone around you. It is my constant prayer that you will understand that God is not somewhere up there in the heavens, removed from our daily life, but instead God is here with us now, wherever we are, as our Savior, Lord, partner, guide, and friend. Beloved in Christ, the winds of God's Spirit are blowing across our lives with the power to heal, refresh, transform, and make new. There is wind. God's Spirit is here, just as Jesus promised it. Can you feel it? Will you share it? Thanks be to God. Amen.